everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Hey, it's great to have you with us for another visit to the Pastor's Study. We can never remind ourselves too much of the great commission given to the Christian church. It's in the 40-day period after Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first so-called Easter Sunday. He calls his disciples to meet him in Galilee, the northern area of the first century land of Israel, a place in which people of many nations dwell together. It's the place in which Jesus is raised as a boy, and it now becomes the place in which he will give his parting commission to his disciples, the nucleus of what would soon become the Christian church of the New Testament era. Jesus is worshipped by the 11 disciples, and Jesus doesn't reject that worship because he's God, the second person of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus declares. By the cross and his resurrection from the dead, he has conquered fallen humanity's greatest enemies, sin, Satan, and death. He's now the Lord of lords and King of kings of the universe, and he will soon ascend to the throne of heaven, from which he will rule until his glorious return to judge the world at the last day of human history. Never forget that Jesus Christ truly rules this world that appears so chaotic and is so filled with trouble. Jesus does reign. Therefore, because Jesus is king, he gives this commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. As you see representatives of so many nations living and working in Galilee, let that impress upon you that you are to work so that people of all nations will become followers of me, Jesus the King is saying. How do we do that? The disciples, staggered by the mandate, must have been thinking. Begin by baptizing them into the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus ordains the new covenant, sign and seal of initiation into his kingdom, a washing with water that marks a person's separation unto the true and living God. And teaching them to keep everything I've commanded you, not just teaching those marked out by baptism to be disciples, marked out to be followers of the Lord, but teaching them to keep, to believe, and to obey the things that Jesus himself taught. And as you face this massive mandate, this truly great commission, never forget that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, though reigning from heaven, fulfills this promise by sending the Holy Spirit, his Secretary of State, as it were, to raise up laborers, to prepare them for their work, to attend their work by the life-giving power that brings new creation, and to encourage them in every age, no matter how bleak that age may seem, that their labors are not in vain in the Lord. Jesus is King, and his promises to the nations will be fulfilled, beginning with the 11 disciples before him. Our topic on today's visit to the Pastor's Study is the Great Commission and Christian education, especially the Christian education that goes on in Sunday schools, Bible studies, vacation Bible schools, catechism classes, and other means by which Christian churches do their part in carrying out the Great Commission. Now, we need to be aware that there are many, many challenges to Christian education as the second prong of the Great Commission. There's the anti-intellectual challenge, if you will, that looks down on education as something that either makes people proud, knowledge puffs up, said the Apostle Paul, or gets in the way of the pure work of the Holy Spirit. Although never forget that the whole Word of God is given to us by the Holy Spirit, we're to be sanctified, made holy by the truth, taught Jesus, to which he added, God's Word is truth. And with that truth, attended by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, wrote the Apostle Paul. And then there are the cultic varieties of education which add to or take away from the teachings of Jesus, not least his own declarations about himself as being not a creature something less than God, but God himself. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus boldly and rightly stated. And there are the very common moralistic ways of doing Christian education in the church, utterly missing the fact that Jesus opened up in the entire Old Testament, the scripture of his day, Moses, prophets, and the Psalms, the things concerning himself, his person, his offices, and his work. Moralistic brands of Christian education all too often teach Bible stories disconnected from Jesus. Adam disobeyed. See the effects if you disobey. Noah built an ark. And God will give you work to do too. David was brave in slaying Goliath, and you should be brave in serving God as well. Forgetting, of course, that King David also committed adultery and was responsible for the murder of the woman's husband. See, moralism gives cut flowers, Bible stories, beautiful in themselves, but cut off from their roots in Jesus Christ. And that's not good Christian education. And add to all of this, there's the challenge, and it's a huge one, of doing effective Christian education, which emphasizes the Word of God, in a technological culture that has shortened attention spans and, by the common substitution of images for words, the icons of our day, if you will, dulled people's ability to think logically, deeply, and meaningfully. And for this critical topic, I want to refer you to our Visit to the Pastor's Study archives and my two programs with Dr. Gregory Reynolds on the topics of understanding media and living wisely in our mediated 21st century world. Again, those are available in the Visit to the Pastor's Study archives. Well, getting materials for good, truly Christian education in the church is simply a huge challenge. Where do you get Christian education materials that are faithful to the Scriptures, Christ-centered, which is really gospel-centered, and up-to-date in their ways of communicating in our age of bits, bytes, computer games, social media, and a torrent of apps? And will the place from which you get this material help your church teaching staff to use all of it effectively in your local church situation? Great Commission Publications was formed in 1975 as a joint Christian education venture of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and the Presbyterian Church in America. And for over 40 years, it's been producing what, in my opinion, is the finest Sunday school and vacation Bible school curricula, Bible study materials, and doctrinal studies for all ages that you can get anywhere. And I want you to know more about Great Commission Publications. And don't call it Great Commissions Publications. There's but one Great Commission and one Great Commission Publications. My guest today is the Executive Director of Great Commission Publications, Reverend Marvin Padgett, an ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church in America. Prior to being appointed to his current position with what is commonly simply called GCP, he served as editorial vice president of both Good News Publishers, Crossways Books, and of the P&R Publishing Company, all fine outlets for biblically faithful books and other study aids. Christian education, a huge part of the Great Commission, and we're going to give time to consider that subject today. Now remember, this program enables you to call in with your questions. Our live call-in number is 631-955-5400. We'd love to have you on the air. Just call with your question or comment, 631-955-5400. And people love to text their questions. You can do that at the special number for Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391. And incidentally, you can text questions anytime during the week or comments about the program or whatever. It's at Pastor Bill. Text only, 516-367-0391. But for now, Marvin Padgett, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Well, thank you, Bill, and I'm pleased to be here, and thank you for asking me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Hey, tell us a little more about Great Commission Publications.
Well, you said a great deal. It was formed a little over 40 years ago. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church had owned this. It was the publishing ministry for Sunday school literature and whatnot, and the PCA came into being just a little bit before that, and so we had a denomination that owned a wonderful curriculum. And we had a denomination that didn't have a curriculum at all. So it was sort of a marriage made in heaven.
And also had money to produce Christian education materials as well.
That's right. And the amalgamation of the two denominations has led to a very large thing. The lawyers, interestingly enough, said it would never work. Well, I guess we can attribute the fact that it does work to the power of God and the determination that He put in the hearts of the men in the OPC and the PCA to bring it into being. We're here.
Yeah, where's here? Yeah, tell us where here is.
Well, I am in Dunwoody, Georgia. Our offices are a few miles away in Sewanee, Georgia. And we're not all that large in terms of number of people in the warehouse, but we are. We don't do the printing. Someone else does the printing, so we don't need the space. GCP began, the joint venture, as it was called, in Philadelphia, and migrated in the early 1990s to the Atlanta area, and we've been in Sewanee since probably about 1997 or 1998.
Okay.
It's the nice thing about it is I get to, it's not quite in Atlanta, so traffic's not so bad.
Not sure. You could be here in New York, so you've got a good
sound. Well, there's that. Although the polls show that Atlanta has the rudest drivers in America. So I'm not here to say they are. I drive against traffic to work, so I don't see as much of that as some people seem to.
Well, send them up here to New York. We'll teach them how to drive. Marvin, people are fascinated with behind-the-scenes looks. Behind-the-scenes, how do you produce your Christian Ed materials?
Well, we have a stellar staff that here, and of course, we built upon what those of you in the OPC did. And the outline of our curriculum is still pretty much the same as it was as the OPC did it back in those years. Although we've improved it, I think, over the years in terms of freshness and whatnot, and it's colorful. So we have a director of publications who is a minister in the PCA, Mark Lowry. He has one of the most talented staffs. I've worked now for three publishers, and this is a phenomenal staff, highly spiritual people who really love Jesus, and their goal is to help the people out in the churches, all the churches, and the OPC and the PCA. And about 40% of our sales are outside the two denominations. So we sell a lot of literature to all sorts of independent churches and other denominations and whatnot. It's a struggle because Sunday school publishing in our time is a tough job. Sunday school is declining. Now, our numbers are not declining, but in some of the older denominations, there's one that I won't name, but in 1980 or so, 1885, I think, they had 1 million people in Sunday school every Sunday, and they're down to about 207,000 this last year. Now, 207,000 is a lot of people, but it does show there was a marked decline, and that's a serious thing. John Calvin, who is a theologian who's near and dear to you and I, of course, said back in the 1500s that in writing to the Lord Protector of England that the Church of God cannot survive without catechesis, and catechesis is a fancy word for teaching. It was taken from the Greek, and so when we're trying to be really sound sophisticated, we say catechesis. It's teaching, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to provide materials for all the way from toddlers to people my age.
The term catechesis, it's interesting, probably he's cutting off for a moment, but it's interesting that Luke uses that term when he talks about Theophilus. He says the things in which literally you've been catechized in these things, and there's where we've gotten the term. Marvin, before you go any further, and this is fascinating, you've made the point this is a church publishing company, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and Presbyterian Church in America. Does it make a difference if materials are produced by a church publishing company?
Oh, I think it makes a tremendous difference. I think the churches in any denomination need to know that the materials that are being published conform to the teaching and the beliefs of that denomination. We are controlled, as it were, by two fairly conservative Presbyterian denominations, and I can assure you that our literature, it can be provocative in trying to make people think, especially our youth curriculum, which is called So What, does try to make people think, but we are trying to encourage them to see the Bible. You mentioned Luke, as Jesus is quoted in saying in the book of Luke, that he's teaching about the things about him in all the scriptures. So we believe that all the scriptures point to Jesus. Someone once said, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, said that it's the same as in England when all roads lead to London. In the Bible, all roads lead to Jesus, and we are determined to present the Bible that way.
Yeah, that is, as we've used the material and actually worked with GCP over the years, and that is far and away for us the most important aspect of the curriculum. We'll touch on that a little bit more in a moment. But I think, Marvin, am I right? I think of all of the denominations that are committed, as we are, to the Westminster standards, I believe that GCP is the only church publishing company that publishes Sunday school materials, correct?
We're the only one that is only church. I'm on the board of the Protestant Church-Owned Publishers Association, and I can assure you we are the only one that produces, a church-owned company that produces consistently reformed material for the churches.
Yeah, excellent. Now, okay, talk to us now a little bit. I cut you off before, and I apologize. But tell us about your Sunday school curriculum and how it's different from the others. Let's say I'm a pastor in a church. Why should I encourage the leadership of that church to buy GCP Sunday school materials?
Yes, there are a couple of reasons, and I would have to say for the primary reason is we are determined to teach the Bible. And as I go to conferences and conventions and whatnot, it's sometimes very discouraging because many, many of the publishers there simply do not teach the Bible. I'm not trying to say the people who do this are not Christians and they're not trying to do the right thing, but one of the things that makes us stand out is we teach the Bible. There are others. I'm not trying to say we're the only ones, but it is a distinctive hallmark of what we're doing. We teach the Bible. If your child begins as a toddler and goes all the way through so what in high school, they will have been taught from each book of the Bible at least two times. So we're dedicated to doing that, and we try to do this in an attractive way. When I say easy, I don't mean to say that the teachers don't have to work, because our teachers work really, really hard to do this. But it's consistently conforms to the Bible, which you and I, of course, both think conforms to what we call the Reformed faith.
So, this is kind of like this radio program from way back. It pays to be ignorant. But if other curricula are not teaching the Bible and it's Christian curricula, pray tell, what are they teaching or what are they doing?
Well, it's a lot of entertainment. And as you mentioned in your talk there in the beginning, there's a lot of moralistic teaching, like you cited, be a good guy because David was a good guy and he was brave and whatnot. I look at the stories of David, and our curriculum supports that as well, that David is a representative of God in slaying Goliath, and he's doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit. I kind of think that David was actually a small stature. And this points to the deliverance that believers have in Jesus Christ, that he has gone out and he has done battle on the cross and has emerged victorious, and we are rescued by that. It's not a matter of do what Jesus did. Please, nobody can do what Jesus did. We are here to see and talk about what Jesus himself did and what that means to us.
Yeah.
And trying to teach people to delight in it, as it says in the first Psalm, blessed is the man who delights in the Word of God. It's not just a matter of, oh, my, I've got to do this. It's a matter of inculcating that Jesus has done this for you, and now you do this to glorify him.
Yeah, excellent. That, of course, what you do with the Old Testament is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. These are shadowy things that point
yes.
forward to Christ. Now, Marv, we're going to take a break in just a moment, but people I know are already going to have their interest piqued about GCP. Give your website address now for those who may want you to listen to the break, but if they may want to just access this during the break, give us the website.
Oh, sure. It's really, really easy. It's gcp.org, GCP as in Great Commission Publications, .org.
Great. Excellent. Well, if you'd like to, you can access gcp.org. But for now, we're going to have this message from the voice of the pastor's study.
that great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Bill Shishko here with you, Pastor Bill, as I'm known on the radio. And do we have Reverend Marvin Padgett with us as our guest? He is the Executive Director of Great Commission Publications. You want to stay tuned? There'll be a free offer from Great Commission Publications that you'll learn about in a few minutes. I want to remind you again of the call-in number for your questions. Sunday school teachers, perhaps those who are administrators of Sunday school, parents who are interested in the teaching of your children, all of you can have this time to get good answers from Marvin Padgett on Christian education. Call-in number for your question, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And also the text number for Pastor Bill is 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. Marvin, we talked about Bible school materials, and it is excellent material. What about materials produced by GCP for other age groups?
Well, we have something for every, we have something for toddlers, and we believe that toddlers can learn a lot. They can learn a lot more than we think. Just think of your grandchildren if you have some. But in any event, two-year-olds have a vocabulary of about 150 words. By the time they're three, it's increased by 10 times. It's 1,500 words. And what we do is we teach the toddlers the words of the faith, and they learn these words. I remember as an adult things that I was taught in Sunday school when I was a little tyke, and they still were lodged back there in my hard drive somewhere at the back of my head. So we have toddler, we have preschool, and we have elementary, and that's all called Show Me Jesus, which reflects what GCP is all about. We are there to show people Jesus. We're there to show them who Jesus is and what he did for them. Younger elementary begins to be more serious Bible study. Elementary is more like that. It is, once again, it is Show Me Jesus. And then when we get to middle school, we call it something else. We call it G2R, and that stands for Genesis to Revelation. And that is telling people that we are going to teach your middle schoolers the whole Bible all the way through. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be an exposition of every verse and every chapter, but it's going to tell them what's all in the Bible. And then, of course, I mentioned there's so what. Or you've learned all this stuff from toddler to middle school, so what? And it tries to answer those questions.
Yeah, I wanted you to give us some pointers for teaching teens, but your point about toddlers, Marvin, reminds me when I was in seminary, the church that we were in, every week they had a confession of faith, either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed usually. And I remember there was we didn't have children at the time, but the couple we were very close to had a little girl who was three. And someone who was new to the church asked the couple, You know, does your daughter really understand what she's saying? To which the husband very rightly responded, how much do we really understand what we're saying?
That's good.
You know, it's true, and they get that. And, of course, another thing that this, and I will talk about teens in a moment, in doing work, studying, dealing with people with dementia and Alzheimer's, particularly in older age, it's amazing that they will remember those things that they learned when they were young, when they were toddlers.
I remember so much very clearly from the time I was quite small. I was privileged to grow up in a covenant home. Of course, my parents were Christians, and the Bible was an important thing. I do not remember a day in my entire life when the Bible was not important to me. I don't say that to brag. I say that because I'll be bragging on my parents and what they did for me. They inculcated that into me from the time I was as small as I can remember.
Well, actually, you're bragging on your God who says his truth will endure to all generations.
That's right.
Marvin, real quickly, so many of our listeners have teenagers, and sometimes they're kind of pulling out their hair about teaching their teens or just dealing with them in general. Have you got some quick pointers that you could help us with?
I am petrified of little bitty kids who aren't my grandchildren or my own children. I'm not a talented enough teacher to teach them. I find them to be very challenging. I love them and whatnot. It's a weakness on my part. What to do with teenagers? I have always had in my adult Sunday school classes a good portion of the church's teenagers who come because they want to, and that's not because I'm brilliant, but the key thing is taking them seriously.
Yeah.
The teenagers are people created in the image of God who have begun to think creatively. They've begun to ask all sorts of questions. And the main thing that I do is I don't treat them as if they were teenagers. I treat them as if they were just people. And it works quite well. I've taught homeschoolers in consortiums and whatnot. I've taught apologetics, American history and whatnot. And it's always the same thing. You take them seriously. You listen and you answer the questions as best you know how. And when you don't know the answer, you take them seriously and say, I don't know, but I'll go find out.
Well, I appreciate that, Marvin. This past summer, I had the opportunity to speak at a family camp in Southern California. They had about 100 young people there. I was a high school, post-high school, and maybe just new college grads. And I took time with them. It was one of my most delightful times there. Did exactly what you said. And just to add to it a little bit, you can, when you understand the whole Bible, the Christ as the center of the Bible, his redemptive work as the center of the Bible, you can also then help the young people see their place in what God is doing in history.
Oh, exactly. That is precisely the story, the way to do.
Marvin, how do you, huge question, how do you produce materials that communicate with our technological age? I mean, how do you avoid dumbing things down and at the same time keep the attention of people who often have such limited attention spans?
Well, I mean, that's a challenge in every age, and it's a crucial problem in our age. And you mentioned Greg Reynolds, and I would say amen to anyone that who was listening to listen to what Greg Reynolds has to say. He understands the way the media works better than anyone I know. At the various places I've been publishing before, we published books about media ecology. Greg is brilliant at that, and he understands it. How do you do it? Well, we have built upon the solid, reformed, and biblical teaching that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church built in all those years. I was just looking through some from way back in the 70s this week, and the thrust of what is taught is the same. The kerygma, the kernel of what's there is all the same, but it doesn't look the same at all. It is different kinds of pictures, and the text is presented in a different way, but the what you call the scope and sequence of GCP has not changed for when you guys were doing it in the 50s and 60s until what we're doing today. And in our catalog, and by the way, anyone can have a free catalog just by asking for one. One of the things on pages 4 and 5 is the scope and sequence. And if you had been looking at the OPC scope and sequence from all those years ago, it's the same. Now, why does that work? It's because it's a scope and sequence of teaching people the Word of God, which never changes and never needs to change. Now, we do need to freshen things from time to time. Someone asked me years ago at a publishing house, well, why should we have another systematic theology? And the answer to that is, it's not as if the Bible changes, but the questions change.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so that's the difference. The answers are basically the same as they were, and they are the same whether you are a Nobel laureate in physics or whether you are down in Lower Alabama where I grew up working on a cotton field. The answers are the problems and answers are basically the same. The questions are a lot different.
Yeah, I think too. Also, the answers are given a little bit different dress too, because of the
culture
we're dealing with. Yeah, we're going to take a break in just a moment. I want to mention, Marvin, we squeezed this in and mention it again, though. First Catechism for Adults, obviously a project close to my heart. Tell us a little bit about it.
The most popular product we sell, not the one we sell the most of. We sell 13,000 copies of First Catechism. This is the Catechism. It's taken from the Shorter Catechism, for those who are Presbyterians in the crowd. And what it's done, it's been recast, been approved by the Presbyterian Church in America, approved by the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and it goes through the same things that the larger and older documents do. It's the subtitle of this is Beginning Discipleship in the Christian Faith. And because of your request, we have taken the one that is designed for children, for young children, and we've put it in a format that would slip into a pocket or a purse, and you can carry it with you, and it just has the question and the answer as you go through there. And it is systematic, and it is what classic catechisms have always done. It teaches you the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, and a little bit about the sacrament.
Yeah. I've got a copy in my hand, First Catechism, Beginning Discipleship in the Christian Faith. Just to give and just so the audience knows the background of this, in my pastoral work and others, we're dealing now with people who don't know anything about the Bible at all, and this takes a catechism we would usually use with children and recasts it for adults. So when you're working with adults who don't know anything about the Christian faith, it's questions like, who made you, God? What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. It's memorable, and it's great as a supplement to your teaching the Bible. You can get a free copy, and I think, Marvin, let's do it like this. I'd like to hear from you about this. So email me at visitpastorbill, that's all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, and then I'll respond to you. But I'm also going to send this down to Marvin Padgett, and Great Commission Publications will send you out a copy of the Catechism for free. And I guess, Marvin, we can also include copies of your catalog, right?
Sure. Well, you can say the way Groucho Marx used to say. Just say, if they call down the GCP, tell Beth or Paulette that Marvin sent them.
Okay. Phone number for your questions, 631-955-5400, or you can text them to Pastor Bill at 516-367-0391. Let's give Marvin Padgett a little break for a moment. I want to remind you that the group of churches that presents this program every week, as part of its own outreach, we have churches of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Southern Connecticut and New York. We have congregations in East Haddam, Connecticut, in Hamden, Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and then here on Long Island in Franklin Square, in Syosset, and in Bohemia. We mentioned the archives of Visit to the Pastor's Study, and that is www.visitthepastorsstudy.com. You can just Google in Visit the Pastor's Study, and it'll give you the site. I particularly encourage you to listen to Understanding Media, that's one program, and Living Wisely in Our Mediated 21st Century World, my interviews with Dr. Gregory Reynolds on media ecology, extremely important material. You can also access Visit to the Pastor's Study on sermonaudio.com. And I want you to like us on Facebook. We're a little bit behind with our Facebook work, but we're getting to it. But we'd love to have you like us, and we value your questions and your comments. I believe we have a telephone call today, and we have a call from Alabama, from Scott. Hey, Scott, welcome to a visit to the Pastor's Study.
Oh, thanks so much. Glad to be with you.
Hey, tell us a little bit. I gather you're a GCP user.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm the pastor of a church in Florence, Alabama, pastor of the Redeemer Presbyterian Church, and yes, absolutely. We use Great Commission Publications curriculum, and we love it.
Excellent. What do you love about it?
Well, first and foremost, you want something that's solid and biblical and that teaches the Bible and, from a Reformed perspective that reflects the principles we believe in, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which we believe embodies that, body of doctrine that's taught in the scripture, and Great Commission Publications has that kind of solid foundation. And then second, I think that the aids for teachers, because not everybody has an education background, and I think they do a good job of preparing the teacher to teach in a curriculum that they can follow.
Now, how do they do that, Scott? How does GCP help the teachers do the teaching? Was it a book of teaching aids or what?
Absolutely, yeah. The teacher's guide in the front first has a preparing your heart so that people are getting ready spiritually. There's always a reminder for the age of your kids, so for whatever kids you're teaching, it'll remind you kind of what age and stage of development they're in and what kinds of questions they're asking. And for littles, you know, you kind of have to keep things moving a little more. And older kids, you may be asking more questions and helping them to arrive at conclusions. And so the curriculum does a good job of preparing our hearts spiritually and then also reminding us where the kids are, and then they have good age-appropriate, you know, developmental-level lessons that help the kids learn.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's helpful. They actually, that's so important because the line with a ministry. I'm sure Scott, you're familiar with this. Is the life of a ministry is the life of the minister, and I think that's also true of a Sunday school teacher as well. So that preparing their hearts is excellent. Do you use other Great Commission publication materials?
Absolutely. We use the Sunday school curriculum. Of course, we use, I know you were talking about the catechism earlier. We do use the Kids Club catechism curriculum for preschoolers and elementary age kids.
Now, how do you use that, Scott? Where does catechism fit into your church week?
Sure. We do that on Sunday night.
Okay.
And our kids have some time to learn the catechism. In the spring, we did questions 1 through 50 of that first catechism. And so this fall, we're picking up with question 51. And, you know, one of the big things about getting volunteers is they think, well, if I'm teaching the kids, I'm not going to get fed. But that's one of the things I love about the Great Commission publications material is I think a lot of our folks in the pews are learning the catechism themselves.
Yeah.
And also, you know, getting fed and getting a deeper level of understanding through teaching the curriculum.
Yeah, that's, you know, the biblical principle of, you know, he who waters will himself be watered as you're ministering to others. So often teachers,
absolutely.
Right, I learn more from it even than the children did. You got Marvin Padgett on the line here. Do you want to ask Marvin Padgett anything, Scott?
Yeah, I would love to hear about some of the things they've got coming up. Everybody's always asking about digital stuff or about any kind of visuals or how we can get more digital with the product. I'd love to hear about some of that.
All right, Scott, we'll let you listen on the radio. Thanks so much for your call. There you go, Marvin. Open door. Tell us about the future of things with GCP.
Well, I was just waiting to say we were talking about First Catechism. This is something that we plan to release around the first of the year. That is, it'll be First Catechism in an interactive flashcard kind of thing. And it's not just merely questions and answers. Adults or children, either one, can draw things. They can color it. They can search. They'll be able to search through First Catechism. If you want to know about X, you can type X in, and it'll find it for you. We're just excited about this. We do increasingly do video work, and this is a big step for us, and we will probably then, as this works, we'll probably end up doing the Heidelberg Catechism as well, in a flashcard format, and of course certainly the Westminster and the larger and shorter catechisms that accompany it. We with the So What material, which is the newest thing that we have, and G2R, the middle school curriculum, which is quite new, there are digital elements in both of those, and so the take-home papers can be done digitally, so that they come. We have a church in Atlanta that's been sending their take-home papers by email, And so when you get home, it's there flashing on your screen waiting for you.
Wow.
But the first catechism is a big step, and it's something that we think, you know, because of the way it's done. Now, I'm getting very close to the end of my expertise about digital things, but because of the format that we're using, you can put it on your computer, and if you can put it on your computer, then you can put it on a PowerPoint presentation and look at it, and you can the whole class can be doing the same thing.
That's excellent. That's so important that GCP is keeping up with the technology. Quick note again for some in our audience, and catechism may be unfamiliar to you, wondering what this is. It's the tried and true method of, I guess in a sense, going back to Socrates, really, of asking questions and then eliciting answers from the students. And one of our dear friends, mutual friend, G.I. Williamson, has likened the catechism to an atlas. He calls it an atlas of the Bible.
Yes.
And the beautiful metaphor, he says, when you're driving, it's wonderful to say, okay, here's a park, and here's a lake, and here's the mountains, and here's a monument, and so on. But it's a different thing. It's even more helpful if you can look at an atlas and say, here's where we are as we're making this journey. And in that sense, the catechism really is an atlas of the Bible. In the shorter, the first catechism, you're talking about sin with your children. And yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, it is. And G.I., of course, G.I. Williamson, has written a study guide to the Westminster Confession that I used to use and study all the time. It's really good. You mentioned the old-fashioned thing. J.I. Packer and Gary Parrott have written a book called Grounded in the Gospel, Building Believers the Old-Fashioned Way, which is keys in with what you were just saying. That they believe that the catechism, doing catechesis, that's the process, is very important in today's world.
Yeah, excellent. That's exactly right. GI's material, not only on the Westminster Confession, he also has a study guide in the Heidelberg Catechism, but his two volumes on the shorter catechism are excellent. Example again from First Catechism, and if you'd like a free copy of this, just email me, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. I'll respond to you, but also we'll pass this down to Great Commission Publications. What is sin? You're reading in the Bible about sin. Well, what is sin? Sin is any lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God, says this first catechism. What's meant by lack of conformity? Not being or doing what God requires. What's meant by transgression? Doing what God forbids. And you see how that just opens the door for that kind of teaching of people. Marvin, real quickly before our next break, the brother who called with his question mentioned the training of teachers, and obviously internally there's helps. Does GCP help churches with teacher training?
Oh, my, yes. We do free webinars. You can see everyone we've done, but if you sign up when it's being done, and you can find out on the website or by calling when the next is going to be, then you can do it live. And, you know, that can be one person in your church, or we had 100 people watching it, I believe, in Australia live and participating. And you can send your questions in. And B.A. Snyder, Betty Ann Snyder, is our marketing director. She's a seminary graduate, very distinguished, longtime director of children's ministry. She'll answer the question live on your computer. And if you want somebody to come to your church, we'll do that too.
Even if it's a really small church?
Even if it's a really small church. We may be the last Sunday school curriculum publisher to do that. And it's expensive, and so we're hoping that people will do the live webinars. But, yes, we send a minister named Dan Bolton out to do seminars in churches.
Wow, excellent. And you, again, the website is gcp.org, and I'm asking the obvious here. People can also get on your email list, so they get notifications.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, because yes, and you can go to that, and you can download free samples. So if you have a computer in your own line, and who isn't these days, you can go and download it and have a look at it, so you're not taking any risk in what you're doing.
And I've got to bring this up because we have a program coming up on Pilgrim's Progress. You have curricula designed to teach Pilgrim's Progress, correct?
Oh my, we do. It is freshly done. It is the same thing that was written in 1687. John Bunyan wrote. It is the second most popular book in the English language, second only to the King James Bible. It has been in print since 1687, and this is an edition that's done. The language is childrenized to make up a word. You're going along, and it has excellent fresh things. You can also get an audio of it, reading that's excellent. And the idea is you listen to John Duncan reading it dramatically, and then the children read it. It's meant to be used from sixth grade up to maybe 11th or 12th. There's a glossary in the back for those adults who don't know what redemption and words like that mean that you can look. But it's a new product for us. It's part of what Scott mentioned about Kids Club.
You got it, folks. You have to get on gcp.org. If you think you hear Marvin Padgett, the executive director of Great Commission Publications, so excited about it, take a look at the material. You'll be excited as well. Our guest today, and we'll be back with him in just a moment, is Marvin Padgett, executive director of Great Commission Publications. If you'd like to call in with your questions, 631-955-5400, or you can text Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391. We'll be back with more about the Great Commission and Christian education in just a moment.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Call in number for a question. It would have to be a quick one, but we still have time for one more. 631-955-5400, or for texting to Pastor Bill, texting with your question, 516-367-0391. My guest today, Marvin Padgett, executive director of Great Commission Publications, joint publishing effort of the Presbyterian Church in America and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Marvin, in a lot of churches, there isn't even a church membership, which is a bad thing. But GCP has material to prepare people for church membership. Talk to us about that.
Well, the most significant book and the all-time bestseller for at GCP is by a man, Calvin Knox Cummings, who was, I believe, a minister in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and it's called Confessing Christ. And most churches who purchase it, and 60,000 have been published, have been purchased, use this in their membership classes to find out what the Bible is all about, what Jesus is all about, basically he will be teaching the Reformed faith, but it's a teaching of what it is to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, and the second person of the Trinity.
I appreciate you mentioning that. It's interesting even now I'm working with a couple using that, as I have over the years. I'm in a section on faith and repentance. I call it the two legs by which we get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Calvin Knox Cummings presents that is just simple, to the point, clear. Yeah, Confessing Christ, excellent volume. What about things, Marvin, for Bible studies people would do in their homes?
We have a long backlist is a publishing term, excuse me. It's We have a list of things in our catalog for people to use to do just that. We also have a special arrangement with Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul Ministries, and we make available through our website the wide-ranging things that Ligonier Ministry has dealt with over the years. And these are videos, and you can do this online, or you can purchase them either way you wish. That's something that we do, and we're real pleased to be able to partner with them in doing that. But in the back of our catalog, there are materials for all kinds of things to help adults especially. But one thing I do want to mention is a product that we have that is important in teaching, and it's something that, for me personally, someone who can't carry a note in a song at all remembers from the time I was a child, is that we published Trinity Hymnal. And Trinity Hymnal is a rich resource for building people in the faith. I hate to be critical, these are not soupy little songs. These are the great hymns of the faith. In the back of it is a bargain. You get the Westminster Confession of Faith and whatnot. And further, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, of which you're a member, and the United Reformed Church will be publishing sometime in the next year the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, which will have all of the psalms you can sing all of the psalms, and in the back of it, you'll have all these confessional things, as well as most of the things that are in Trinity Hymnal.
Excellent. We've only got about a minute left for Marvin Padgett. We have a call from a listener named Margaret. Margaret, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a grandmother. I've been teaching Sunday school for quite a while, and I'm very thankful that this is a comment that three of us can use the same curriculum. When one's not available, we can hand it to someone else, and they can just pick up where we left off. And the other thing is, I would like to know if they have any scripture memory books that we could give when babies are born as gifts.
Oh, great. Great question, Mark.
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact. And I am embarrassed. I know the man who wrote the material personally, and I can't remember the name of it, but it is in our catalog.
It was a scripture memory notebook, I think, right? If it is,
yes.
It's what we use with our children.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's written by
Paul Settle.
Paul Settle, sorry. And that is something that you could use in for that purpose. It's written just for that. We have little flashcards if you're a Presbyterian and you want to memorize some of the catechisms. We have that too. But we have the scripture memory notebook that Bill just mentioned.
Excellent. Hey, don't limit it to Presbyterians, Marvin. All ought to be.
No. I know.
Yeah.
Actually, 40% of our sales are not the PCA and the OPC. We sell widely and into any number of other denominations. And the key thing there is we teach the Bible.
Man, there's so many churches out there, regardless of whether they have an official doctrinal statement or not, and they're right there with us. They don't want moralism. They want to know how the Bible tells us about Jesus. Marvin Padgett, Executive Director of Great Commission Publications, thanks so much for being our guest on this very rich program, Visit to the Pastor's Study. We've come to an end of another one of our programs. Hey, I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate your questions. Trying to bring my own pastoral ministry, among other ways, to you through my website or through my email, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Visitpastorbill@gmail.com. You can also go to the Visit the Pastor's Study website as well. But I'd love to hear from you. Visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that's faithful to the Word of God. And remember, everyone needs a pastor. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will bless every effort for churches and individuals as they seek to fulfill their role in teaching what Jesus commanded to all the nations. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.